I would say that the key reason that this is such an important discipline is that this space is where Jesus transforms your heart. And so if you're lost, if you're scared, if you're feeling overwhelmed, Jesus will meet you in this space and transform your heart. I promise you.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Again, my name is Mike Falkenstein, and this is now the second episode that I have with Tony Miltenberger. And Tony, I'm so glad that you're with me. How are you doing? You're in the new year, and things are getting going in 2022. Okay for you guys?
Yeah, man, we're loving the new year. We love talking about disciple making, and I'm super excited to be back here, Catalytic Podcast. And man, I love what we're doing.
That's great. Yeah, it feels to me kind of like, you know, the further we get away from 2020 and all of that, it loosening a little as it relates to the pandemic. I don't know if you're like me, but this thing has sure seemed to drag on a lot longer than any of us thought it would, hasn't it?
I oftentimes still think it's 2018. I don't even know what year we're in. I mean, what are we doing with our lives? Like, it's the time is in this weird space continuum. So
yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's now just forever. It's forever here.
That's right. I really believe that too. I mean, I think COVID will just become kind of like the flu, and you can get an annual COVID shot, like you'd get an annual flu shot, and it'll just kind of be around. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Well, Tony, we've been talking about last episode, we talked about kind of in general, the 30,000 foot view of what are spiritual disciplines and why are they important. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about one of them in particular, what we in at least Western Christianity generally call the quiet time. I've kind of gone back and forth about what I actually think about that. Yeah, that terminology, but it's not a bad thing to call, you know, time in God's word and time in prayer. That's time that we would spend, you know, with God. And it is one of those daily disciplines that I think is super important, you know, a time where a Christian can spend time reading God's word and time in prayer. And so I'm wondering, Tony, as you think about the quiet time, that time in God's word and prayer, give me kind of your best definition of kind of how you describe that to people.
So I would say this, my best definition of quiet time or time alone with prayer is intentional time to build the relationship that we have with God.
Mm, that's good.
And so I think it has to be both intentional and it has to be relational. And both those things mean something a little different. Meaning that you need to have a plan kind of going in, and you need to be open to your heart has to say to Christ in that process. And I think that's how we get to really good quiet time. Now, it doesn't have to be like a practice outline, you know, 10:42, say hi to God, 10:43, pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm not talking about that kind of like intentionality, but what you don't want to do is not plan on doing something, right? So I think a good quiet time is when it's intentional and it's relational and it gives you an opportunity to connect with the Lord.
That's great. Yeah. And my definition would be very similar to that, right? A time where the Christian spends time reading God's word and in prayer. And you know, it's really designed to help the Christian connect with God for the day and practice abiding in Christ and hearing from God. And so as a spiritual discipline, I think it's, I don't know that we actually would rank spiritual disciplines in terms of importance, but certainly this one is quite important, right? To get that daily time. And, you know, Tony, one of the things that I often mention to people, and I'd be interested to know what you think about this, but, you know, generally, you know, we're kind of looking for 30 minutes or so. But again, as you mentioned, there's no timeline on this thing. There's no clock. And I say, especially for people who've gotten to into a rut of not getting that regular time in God's word, it's kind of like what you said in the last episode about just start doing it. And so at one point in my spiritual walk, I ran across some kind of a brochure or flyer or something, and it was called something like 7 minutes with God. And the idea was that at the very least, you can spend, it was 2 minutes in prayer, 3 minutes in God's word, and then 2 minutes in prayer. And although I would hope that that would be a longer time period for the Christian, I do like the idea of this 7 minutes with God, because at the very least, you can get 7 minutes at some point during the day. And this is just a time to, you know, surrender your heart to God, ask him to, you know, guide and direct you through the day, just get a little nugget from God's word. And that is certainly better than spending no time in God's word. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. You know, I'll be honest, when I'm discipling someone, I'm always hesitant to put parameters on the details of what we're talking about. Because I think, you know, for somebody who's relationally speaking, someone who's a little bit more intentional will be like, 7 minutes, that's nothing. Or someone who's a little bit more relational versus intentional be like, 7 minutes, a whole 7 minutes, right? And so, you know, I think when we're talking about nothing, the goal is something. And when we're talking about something, the goal is more. And and that's probably where I tend to go. And I'm not super, I just want people to do it. And I want people to do it because I think one, we see Jesus do it, right? Mark 1:35 comes to mind. In the morning, a great while before the day, he rose and he went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. Jesus practiced quiet times. Yeah, did this. Like, this isn't an activity that when we follow Christ, we're compelled to do because he first did it for us. But then the other part is, if we look at the rhythm of Scripture in its entirety, one of the things that we see is that Jesus and God, the Creator, did their best work from a place of rest. So oftentimes in the North American culture, we want to rest from work, but rather I think the conviction here is to work from rest. And so we want to follow Jesus as a respite, but the reality is the best ministry you're going to do is after you've spent time with the Lord.
That's right.
And so if you're worried about, like, man, how am I going to follow Christ today? It starts by building that foundation in the morning. So build that foundation in the morning or even the night before, and then it's going to equip you to do the things that you need to do during the day. So a quiet time becomes a foundation that you can build a Christian life off of.
That's good. That's good. And, you know, Tony, in the last episode, I mentioned how I often recommend people to spend time kind of slowly going through John 14 and 15. And I was just looking at John 15, you know, those early verses in John 15 are the ones where Jesus is saying, you know, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. This idea of abiding in Christ, which, by the way, I often might recommend to people just sort of meditating on kind of what it really means to abide in Christ and to, which is really kind of this idea of remaining close to and certainly to remain in. And certainly we're not going to do that if we're not deepening that relationship with him. But then as it relates, Tony, to what you said about ministry, and even I would include that just with whatever you're working on doing, you know, in verse 5, he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And I often think about that when, you know, I have fortunately, I generally catch myself, but I do have a bad habit of getting going early in the morning, getting some breakfast and wanting just to kind of get right into, you know, ministry things. And, you know, without that reconnection with Christ, I already know that day is not going to be as fruitful as it would have been, you know, had I done it. And sometimes I have to stop myself and go, yeah, I know I've got a deadline on this, but this is going to turn out way better if I get time in God's word. So, you know, certainly that, and really to surrender my heart to Christ in that day. So Tony, I'm curious, with the time we have left in this episode, I'd love to just kind of give people, maybe there's some folks that are going, okay, I've heard this term, I kind of generally know what it is, but let's kind of give folks kind of a, here's how this actually looks like. Here's this, here's how to do it. And so, you know, I always start with picking a proper time period. And what I mean by that is that for some people, early mornings, sounds like you're one of those people, you know, early mornings, you're kind of wanting to get time in God's word and in prayer. I'm currently discipling someone who just couldn't make that work. And so he actually spends about 45 minutes just before he goes to bed. And, you know, I've told him that's great. I mean, in any 24-hour period, you know, you're getting time in God's word. So would you agree with that in terms of kind of when to do that? It doesn't really matter necessarily, does it?
No, I don't think so. I think that there's probably more examples in scripture of Jesus doing it in the morning than anything else. But again, I think sustainability is the most important thing. So whenever I want you to do it, whenever you're more likely to do it more than once.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. That's a good way to put it. And so I would just add, I have told, like, this friend that I'm now meeting with, I have told him that obviously getting time in God's word at any time is a good thing. If he could just, I recommended that he just get maybe just a few minutes in the morning, just because, at least for me, just kind of that orientation of my heart and getting kind of on true north, so to speak, in the morning is good. And, you know, that might just be spending a little bit of time in prayer and, you know, just early in the morning. But again, I don't know that that's absolutely necessary as well. So then we move on to proper preparation. And so what I mean by that actually is just having a place where you go. For me, we have a kind of a brown, sort of a lazy brown leather lazy boy chair. That's just kind of my time, my place where I go. But then, you know, if you need your Bible, of course you do. If you're going to be doing any journaling, just making sure you've got kind of what you need. Is there anything you would add in terms of kind of just preparing for those times and kind of getting the right place for those times?
So the only thing I want to do is underscore what you've already said, which is this idea about having a physical space to do the work that God has called you to is critically important, because so oftentimes we undersell the importance of physical space because we like to talk ourselves out of good ideas. And it's a very common thing that happens. We get busy, we shortcut, I'm going to go just listen to the car. And then eventually what happens is you're going through the motions. But when you show up consistently in the same space and the Holy Spirit meets you there, then you know that the Holy Spirit's already done work here before. Creating that space and being ready will eliminate some of the excuses that you'll want to have later. Now, maybe you're not an excuse person and you're motivated all the time, and if that's you, then that's great. I'm really happy for you. That is not me, right? And so I need the reminder, hey, that's, I want to walk past that chair later if I miss it and be convicted by the chair.
Right.
You know, like, oh man, I didn't do that, right? So I would say that creating a plan so you don't talk yourself out of a good idea later, because people do this all the time with the gym. I'm going to go to the gym in the morning. It's like, if you're going to go to the gym, then lay out your gym clothes or sleep in your gym clothes. Let's go. Come on.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, Tony, it's interesting you mentioned, actually two thoughts. One, it's interesting you mentioned this idea of a particular chair and walking by it, because I do that exact same thing where it's, I walk by this brown leather chair and I know that's the place that I go. And so I'm often thinking about, you know, and particularly if I've ever missed that time, yeah, it is a conviction, because it's like I walk by it all the time. It says, you know, it's in my house. So, but then also I'm wondering, because what you said about this is the place that the Holy Spirit has done work. And I often think, I've actually never done this, but sometimes you'll hear someone talk about a prayer closet, right? Yeah. Kind of a small room in your house that, and I'm not even sure how many houses are built with small rooms like this, but I have heard of people. Have you heard of that? Or have you ever done had a place where you've actually a small little room where you can close the door and you kind of go, and that's, hey, that's me and the Holy Spirit's place.
You know, I have a 3-season room in the back of my house that has nothing but crosses in it for decoration. And when the weather is above 30, it's where I do my prayer work. It's where I do my reflection time. The windows, it's, you know, I'm like, it's the battleground space for me. And awesome. So when it's warm, and I even put a space heater out there for if I get real motivated, right? Because I think seeing one of the things that I'm working on in my quiet time is the stillness part of it. And so I'm working on sitting still with God, and it's a growing edge in my life. And so being able to look out at my backyard and see the birds and the squirrels and the trees, and like that helps with my stillness so that I can, it's even before prayer. So for me, stillness, prayer, word, prayer, reflection, if I have some, you know, like if I want to jot some notes down, and I do almost all my word time and my journaling time in my phone. So again, for me, that's just another way that I do it to try to avoid talking myself out of it. I always want to be a paper writer. Like I'd love to, you know, like, oh, I got my Moleskine journal or whatever, but I end up leaving those everywhere. I don't know where those are right now. I have 20 of them. I can't find any. And so for me, again, right, I'm just create a system that's sustainable that I can do. So good space, stillness, prayer, word, prayer, reflections.
That's great. Well, Tony, thank you so much for this great conversation about the quiet time as a spiritual discipline. Let us take a little break now and hear from our friend Tom Muller and give him a few minutes. And but when we come back, Tony, I want to continue this conversation about the quiet time, beginning with a little bit more from you about this 3-season room. Because actually, that term is not a term that we would use out here in Colorado. So I think I know probably what that means, but I want to hear about that and how you use that in your time in prayer and in God's Word. So thank you all again for joining us, and we'll be right back after the break.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8-Catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find great commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find great commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
And so I'm curious, as a side note, Tony, this 3-season room, I think you called it, the indication is this is a room that doesn't have heat. Otherwise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but I do have a blanket out there. And so what I'll do is I'll click on a heater, a space heater, and then go make some coffee. And then by the time I get back, get underneath a blanket, cup of coffee, I can spend some time out there. Now, we're in the bitter, horrible cold of winter right now in Ohio. And so this morning it was like 18.
Okay.
And, there's no 3-season reflection happening this morning.
You're doing that in another place in the house.
Absolutely. Living room reflection. So that's instead fun. Of a 3-season, but
that's funny.
But I'm going to get a solid 3 seasons out of it.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. In fact, what just hearing you talk, it sounds like, and I know in another episode, we'll talk about this extended time with God. And I have this place about 15 minutes from my house that's outdoors. And again, here in Denver, in Colorado, where I am, there's no extended time with God out at this place this time of the year, just because it's too cold. So I've got to do that another place. But yeah, there is just something about, and maybe this is the follow-up to that, is that there is something about, generally about that connection maybe with nature and God's creation. And I know for me, as I sit at this place and I look out at the, you know, it's a pretty good view of the, what we would call the, you know, from Denver sits east of the Rocky Mountains. And so we can see the Front Range is what we call it. And so just that idea of, as you're praying and going, God, this is incredible. You know, just that connection that you have with God's creation is pretty cool. So in terms of proper procedure for this quiet time, you'd kind of mentioned that, Tony. I always tell people, you know, okay, if you're going to start with 30 minutes as kind of a goal initially, just spend that first time just kind of getting still, getting your heart quiet. I often tell people that, you know, for me, whether it's this quiet time or the extended time with God, it seems like the first period is just kind of a, you know, because I've got a million different things going on in my mind, just trying to kind of disconnect from that. Be still, create an environment where God really can speak. I would also say, and I don't know if you agree with me, Tony, but you know, there is this thing with our smartphones. Certainly in the extended time with God, I'm leaving that in the glove box of my car. And I'm curious what you think about, because it's hard these days. On one hand, you really don't want to be getting texts and emails. I mean, you can get to those, you know, sure, after this time. The flip side of it is, for some of us who read the Bible on our phones. So in terms of getting still and quiet, Tony, what are your top tips in that area?
Yeah, I would say that putting Do Not Disturb on is a great way to do that.
Mm, yeah.
I've turned off a lot of my notifications already.
Mm.
And so I try to live a life that is limited by that, so that I only engage it when I want to.
That's good.
Not when the device wants me to. Mm. And a guy who I follow on this a lot is Kerry Newhoff. And I recently had him on the Reclamation podcast, and his latest resource is called Lead at Your Best. And what he talks about there is that if Amazon showed up at your door 17 times a day and rang the doorbell every time they showed up, you'd murder them. But that's essentially what our phones are doing in our pockets and all these
things. Right.
Now, I use my YouVersion Bible app faithfully.
Mm.
Now, if I'm going to do a retreat or if I'm going to do that extended time, then I will, I'll go to my paper Bible. But for the most part, man, I try real hard to go ahead and not do anything else before I hit the word, you know, once I'm out of bed.
That's great. I think that's good. So then as we're, you know, kind of stilling our hearts and being quiet, obviously, you know, you want to get into God's word. You know, I kind of have a two-phase approach to that. I like to sort of maybe read one of the Psalms at first, just because that's a, you know, a lot of times the Psalms tend to be very worshipful and, you know, calling out to God. And so that kind of helps me, again, kind of, you know, prepare my heart to hear from God's God himself. And then, you know, whatever it is that I'm reading, of course, Tony, we could have a whole episode on what we should be reading in these times. But, you know, I often tell people for beginners that a kind of a Bible in a year kind of a plan is just a really good thing to do. You know, they generally have those divided up for you already. And you think about being able to read, for people who have not spent a lot of time in God's word, to, you know, to get through the whole Bible and get kind of that 30,000 foot view of, you know, what's in it, you know, is good. And then over time, you know, I've done all kinds of, you know, extended slow studies of Romans or Hebrews or, you know, any number of things. And so in terms of, you know, the approach for a quiet time in getting God's word, would you normally recommend to people?
Anything that will keep you in it. No, I mean, you know, I typically, depending on where they are in their faith walk, right? So if somebody has said yes to Christ a long time ago and they've been with Jesus for a while, then typically, you know, I think that there's some really good plans out there, a proverb or a psalm a day or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Bible reading plans through YouVersion. The Bible app, and I typically right now I'm doing the Bible in a year, and I'm doing it with two or three guys that I'm discipling.
Oh, good.
And we comment on it afterwards, so we, you know, each of us can see where we do the reading. And again, right, the you know, the joint accountability always helps. And so last year I read the Gospels every month. I read all four Gospels every month in 2021.
That's awesome.
So that was really different. Again, I got a little convicted. Somebody said to me, you know, do you know the life of Christ like you know your favorite movie? And so you could drop me into my favorite movie, and I would tell you what's coming before it, what's coming after it, and I could quote a few lines in the middle.
That's right.
And I don't know that I could do that with the life of Christ. And so I was,
that's good,
you know, trying to work on that a little bit. So I think it just depends on what your goals are. But, you know, I think a good reading plan, something that you'll do with somebody else, something that can hold you accountable. I just have learned this about myself. I cannot be trusted to make good decisions when I'm completely isolated from the rest of the world. It's just the nature of my brokenness. So I need people. I need people. I need to be around people. And so I will talk myself out of really good ideas pretty consistently.
That's right. That's good. And I like what you said about, you know, be reading whatever it is that will help you continue to be reading, right? So yeah,
that's right. I just want a 1 degree shift doesn't look like a lot until it's 5 years from now and you've done it for five years, right? Like that's when the one degree shift really looks like a lot. In the beginning, it's nothing, but 5 years from now, it's everything.
That's right. And so then as we spend time in God's word, of course, hopefully then we get some final time to be praying. And again, the praying could look like any number of things. For me, I'm generally, there are some prayer requests that I have. There are some things in terms of my life and ministry that I'm just asking for guidance for. And then hopefully, as I'm hearing from God's word, and then hopefully spending that time with God himself, obeying what God has asked me to do. So in terms of that final prayer time in the quiet time, Tony, do you have any top tips that you give to folks?
I don't, not specific things. If I'm starting off with a newer believer, somebody who may not have handles for all of this yet, sometimes I'll use the acronym PRAY. I don't know if you've heard this one before or not, but it's pause, read, apply, yield. And that last part, the yield, is the hard part. What is God or the Holy Spirit telling me that I need to yield to in my life for that transformation? So pause, read, apply, yield is a really good way to kind of put some handles on that quiet time. Because again, if you've been following Christ for a while, this is not new stuff. These aren't new ideas. We're not giving you anything groundbreaking, but figuring out how to implement them into the fullness of your life is where most of us tend to struggle. So anything that will keep you in it is what I want for you.
That's great. Thanks for that. So Tony, as we in this episode, I think you and I have made, definitive points about why this time is important. I'm wondering if you would have a quick comment about that to close our episode in terms of, okay, if you've got one thing to say to the people that are listening, what's the key reason why this is such an important spiritual discipline?
I would say that the key reason that this is such an important discipline is that this space is where Jesus transforms your heart. Mm-hmm. And so if you're lost, if you're scared, if you're feeling overwhelmed, Jesus will meet you in this space and transform your heart. I promise you.
Well, thanks for that. And I would just second that. That's very, very good word, Tony. I'm wondering, I know we did this last episode, but if there's anyone who wants to learn more about your ministry and what you're doing, again, just give folks the couple of ways that they could get in touch with you.
Yeah, I'm ridiculously easy to find. If you Google Tony Miltenberger, Miltenberger, you'll see all the things pop up. My website at TW Milt is the same as my Instagram and Twitter handle. Mm. And then the only other Tony Miltenberger out there on Google is this really successful real estate agent in Seattle who I just love, and I pray for him every time I see his name pop up. So
that's fun. That's fun. Well, good. Well, I appreciate, Tony, you being here. I appreciate you all listening and being with us. And yeah, these things are important. So I hope this series is a benefit to you. We're sure praying for you that you find ways to get this time regularly in God's word. It is just so, so key. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll look forward to having you on the next episode of the Catalytic Podcast.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.